everybody, welcome back to the Bible Tidbit Podcast. Glad you joined us today. Today we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 15, the whole chapter, which is 21 verses. And in this chapter, we see God's covenant with Abram. And so we're returning to this language of covenant. We're going to talk about how this one is different from the first covenant that we've seen in the Bible. And how it, just the different people it's towards and the different promises made in it. We're also going to see the great importance that is in this covenant. But before we get too deep, as always, I want to read us a brief devotional thought to set our hearts ready to feast upon God's word. And this is once again from the Valley of Vision. This is one of my favorite little books for brief devotional thoughts and prayers like this. And I highly recommend you picking one up. There will be a link below. They have all kinds of editions from paperback to goatskin leather. So it's a very, very good book. But it's Puritan Thoughts, Prayers, and Devotions. And so this one is titled Reliance. My Father, when thou art angry towards me for my wrongs, I try to pacify thee by abstaining from future sin. But teach me that I cannot satisfy thy law, that this effort is a resting in my righteousness, that only Christ's righteousness, ready made, already finished, is fit for that purpose, that thy chastening me for my sin is not that I should try to reform, but only that I may be more humbled, afflicted, and separated from sin by being reconciled and made righteous in Christ by faith, that a sense of my sufficiency and ability in him is one means of my being immovable, that I can never be so by resting on my own faith, but by trusting in thee as my only support by faith, that if I cast away my faith, I cast away thee, for by faith I apprehend thee, and as thou art very precious, so is my faith very precious to me, that I fall short of the purity thou requirest, because in thinking I am holy, I do not seek holiness, or believing I am impotent, I do no more. Humble me for not being as holy as I should be, or as holy as I might be through Christ. For thou art all, and to possess thee is to possess all. But to make the creature something is to make it stand between thee and me, so that I do not walk humbly and holy. Lord, forgive me for this. I think so often in our lives we get really hung up in self-reliance and we forget to rely upon the Lord. And this is in our actions, our behavior, and the way we go through life. So may we come to full reliance on the Lord and put everything, and may it be by faith and not on our own faith that we can live and act. So here in Genesis chapter 15, we see a lot of important stuff go on. And the first thing I want to point out, if you remember from our little introduction to Genesis episode, we had, I believe, two major verses in Genesis that we wanted to focus on. And one of them is here in chapter 15. It is verse 6. It says, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." So this verse that God counted righteousness to Abraham because he believed in the Lord, or to Abram. And the implications that this has are great. I mean, think about this. The major things such as James. James states that Abraham is justified through the law. And like, well, what does he mean by that? I thought we were saved by faith alone, which we are. But James is referencing Abram in like chapter 20, in the 20s. And we're back here in chapter 15. Whenever Paul says that Abram was justified by faith, he's referencing chapter 15. So we see James, whenever he's talking about Abraham in the relation to works, Abram's already been counted righteous by God. So that's him living in his faith. So James is pointing towards a faith that is active after we have it. Paul is pointing towards the beginning of that faith. And so it's through this that we kind of get a feel of that. And this is where we get something that was, we talked about the Protestant Reformation a little bit last week. And this verse has come up or came up in the debates in that, in like the Diet of Worms in the Reformation, this specific verse, because this is what we call imputed righteousness. So we cannot be righteous on our own. You know, we are dirty, rotten, nasty sinners. That's how I like to tell people it, you know, including myself. I'm a dirty, rotten, nasty sinner. But it's through Christ imputing or putting upon me his righteousness. And we see that through the New Testament. But here we see that it really wasn't all that different here in the Old Testament. You know, Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham had faith. And God counted that to him as righteousness. So Abraham was made righteous outside of works, outside of anything he did, but through faith. How beautiful of a picture that is. This covenant that we see Abraham make here, it's the second covenant in the Bible. The first was in chapter 9, and it was between God and all flesh. This covenant is a little bit more exclusive in that it's for Abram and his descendants, which we know is Israel. So we see it be a little more exclusive in that respect. And Abram's bringing these concerns before the Lord whenever this covenant's made. And these concerns are related to the promise that we see in chapter 12, verse 2. And we need to think about the context of this passage to this chapter. You know, remember what just happened. Abraham just turned down the spoils from the king of Sodom and chose to wait on the Lord. And here we see him continuing to wait in this covenant being made. You know, righteousness is a fundamental virtue of the Old Testament, and it characterizes a godly life lived in conformity with the law. Which they've not received the law yet, but we still see that he lived in conformity to it. So it's kind of putting together this beautiful picture of Abraham's righteousness and his waiting on the Lord. And the language here with the covenant, it's actually a Hebrew idiom, which is to cut a covenant. So they make a covenant, they're cutting a covenant. And as you read this, or hopefully you've already read it, you're going to notice it's kind of an interesting passage. The language in it, the imagery we see going on, there's the splitting of the animals, the great darkness fell upon Abram as he's beating off the birds of prey, and he sees this vision and all this stuff happens. So the imagery is very deep there as God cuts this covenant with Abram. And I'm going to put a list of cross-references for this passage that I think you should look up down below, but we simply just do not have time to read them all. And all of the ones that I'm putting down below are actually going with verse 6 of chapter 15. And it's all the times that it's referenced throughout God's word, particularly mostly in the New Testament. So we see a lot of them in Romans. Romans heavily looks at it, and then Galatians. So Paul does a lot with them. One that I do want to read that's outside of verse 6 is from the book of Psalms. It is going to be Psalm 105, verse 42. Through 44. It says, "For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil." So God, in this psalm, he's talking about God remembering his promises to Abraham, his servant. And how through those promises, he brings out his chosen people and gives them this land that's promised. And that's one important word that we see throughout this chapter is land and covenant. So we see it pertaining to those things. So as we begin, let's go ahead and start to look at the details as we work through these verses. It's not a very long chapter, but it's filled with a lot for us to take in. So Abraham, he begins to call out to God, and what he's saying is based upon chapter 12, as we said, you know, and he's wondering, how is this going to happen? You know, God, you made these great promises to me, but I just don't see how they're going to happen. And the Lord begins by reassuring Abraham of the protection that he will provide. He says, fear not. He says, I'm your shield. There will be a great reward. You know, the Lord not only begins with reassurance, but he continues in this reassurance throughout the passage. You know, Abraham believed God, and God counted this belief as righteousness, as it says in verse 6. You know, and this verse here, it establishes Abraham as a hero of the faith. We talk about him being a hero of the faith. We talk about him being in Hebrews, in the hall of faith, as Hebrews is referenced a lot, or we reference it a lot, but it talks about the book of Genesis a lot. And it's this verse here. That's why we keep turning to that. It's this verse here that makes Abraham such an important person in the story of the Bible because of the faith that he had. You know, and this is true and wholehearted belief, you know, that's trusting in God here. You know, Abraham has this faith, the true wholehearted belief that's trusting in God. What an amazing thing to see all the way in the book of Genesis, you know. Faith is obviously talked about a ton throughout the New Testament. And in sermons we hear and all this other stuff, we see we talk about faith. But often it gets left out of our discussions regarding the Old Testament. But we see that Abraham, he is one of the greatest heroes of the faith. You know, we see him as a man of great faith. You know, God imputed righteousness upon him because of his faith. And I think we should just look to Abram for that example. You know, Abram, we've already discussed, and we're going to continue to see that he is not the promised Messiah. He's not the snake crusher. But we do see that the snake crusher will come through him. So we know he's not perfect, but we see such a great example in him. And in this, we begin to see this covenant ceremony between God and Abram. You know, God, once again, in the beginning of this covenant ceremony, he reassures Abram that he will fulfill his promises. And Abraham responds with, how am I to know this? How do I know you're going to fulfill these promises? You know, he's seeking a sign, something that he could see. And there are other records of oaths and stuff being taken in a similar way as this covenant ceremony here, but never to this extent. You know, the cutting of animals in half and that stuff, I mean, it's seen, but never to the fullness that we see here. You know, and all the animals are cut in half except the birds, and they're placed in a way that there's a path between them. And this is the cutting of the covenant, you know, where the animals are split in half. And there was so much blood and meat that Abraham had to drive away the birds of prey. You know, just the gruesomeness, the imagery that we see here in that. And we see him fall into this deep sleep, and he probably welcomed this sleep because this had to be exhausting work that he was doing. And then we see the promises made throughout this deep sleep, you know. And the first part of God's promise is assurance that there will be an affliction to come, but they're going to come out of it with great possessions. There's going to be something, a great affliction, and they're going to come out of it with a lot of possessions. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. That's referring to the Exodus. You know, whenever they're afflicted greatly by slavery in Egypt, but they come out of that slavery as a strong and mighty nation with great possessions as they plunder the Egyptians. So it's kind of foreshadowing that occurrence there. And this is taking so much time for God to fulfill these promises, because he's going to use Israel to bring judgment on the Amorites. He says, you know, he's creating this kind of distance in time, but he's not ready for this judgment to take place upon the Amorites. So he's waiting here because of that. And this great darkness that we see happening as this covenant ceremony and the Abram's visions and the deep sleep, it emphasizes the fire and the smoke, which is representing the presence of God. We see like the burning bush in Moses and on Mount Sinai, the fire and smoke representing the presence of God. And there's such a deep darkness there that this fire would have seemed all the brighter and the smoke all the more full. Think about having a campfire in the middle of the day. You know, you don't notice how bright it is. You know, even at night in town, you know, you might not fully realize the brightness. But if you're out camping in a very rural area where there's no lights and there's no moon that night and you have this big fire, you're going to notice more than ever before just how bright that fire is. So this darkness, it's pointing to how much God's presence is here in this moment. And then God, we see him pass through the pieces, and that is the cutting of the covenant. As he passes through down the path between the two halves of all the animals, he cuts the covenant symbolically here. And this section is completed with the revealing of the full land of promise. You know, how amazing that is as we see the bounds of the land of promise. And this is actually here the only place where it lists 10 people groups. Other places list fewer whenever it's talking about the land of promise. And it's probably because some of these people groups ceased to be before they took part of the land. But they were the people groups that occupied the land when Abraham was alive. So through the cutting of the covenant, we see God's presence there as he makes this promise with Abraham, this great man of faith, this man that has the righteousness of God bestowed upon him because of his faith. And we see these promises made, and Abraham, he can know that God's going to fulfill these promises. He's had this sign that he desired, you know, though he has questions, you know, don't we all at times have questions? And he's going to trust in God through this and continue to live the way that he needs to live and do the things that God commands him to do. And we will more fully see this covenant later as we continue to move on. I'm looking at my Bible now ahead at chapter 17, and I've got the word covenant underlined every time it appears. And oh my goodness, it's the whole page is just covered with this word. And this word, it just means such a beautiful thing in the Bible, because it's a relationship. It's a binding thing between man and God. And just to see that and to see how that develops. But remember, as we wrap this up, as we finish up here today, you know, Abraham, he believed the Lord and it was counted to him as righteousness. And may we too believe in the Lord, have this faith, this saving faith. And through this saving faith, God imputes, he bestows upon us his righteousness. Though we can never be righteous on our own, we bear the righteousness of Christ. How awesome that is. Next week, we will be in chapter 16. And only chapter 16, an even shorter chapter than this week, as we see a little bit of stumbling. You know, Abraham, he's been riding pretty high recently. We're going to begin to see the stumble in verse 1 through 16 of chapter 16, which is the whole chapter. So I thank you all for joining me, and I hope to see y'all next time.